Now, I want to turn with you this morning to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers and chapter 11. And we're going on with our Messages on Moses series, and this is the one before the last. We'll preach on this morning, and then another one in November, and that will be a conclusion to this study on Moses. So we're reading in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1 to 15. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favour in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all the people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people, for they weep upon me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favour in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. We know that God will bless the reading of his word. Children of Israel had been at Sinai. Great things had happened there. Now they're leaving Sinai after 11 months. Moses had been up and down the mount on a number of occasions and had been meeting God continually over that period of time. And you remember that because of Moses' frequent meetings with God, the glory of the Lord was reflected in his countenance and in his character. Remember, they had to cover his face with a veil when he came to the people because of the glory of God that shone. But a short time after Moses came down the mountain, we find him discouraged. Says here in verse 11, And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favour in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? He says in verse 14, I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. So we find that Moses, having been up the mountain with God and having been in the presence of God and been blessed by that presence, he comes down the mountain and he meets all these problems and all these difficulties, and Moses is hit with an attack of discouragement. We find this happens to people sometimes when they've had a mountaintop experience, sometimes when they've been through a time when they've enjoyed the Lord and His power and His blessing, and they've seen things done and things has been going well, and then we find that they hit this attack of discouragement. Happens to those who are involved in Christian work. Happens to pastors, to leaders. Discouragement. My dear friends, it happens sometimes to those who have been involved over a long period, and they're hit with this attack of discouragement. Discouragement is something that's real. Let me give you one or two examples of it. If you take Elijah, the great prophet, this man was a mighty man of God who stood alone for God before Ahab the king. And he faces Ahab the king on his own, and he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Elijah had the guts to face Ahab alone. You remember on Mount Carmel, you remember how he confronted the prophets of Baal, and he accomplished many things. He saw the fire fall and the showers of blessing come. And my God was with Elijah, and God used Elijah mightily. But we find in 1 Kings 19 that Elijah, this great prophet, is under a juniper tree, and he's requesting for himself that he might die. He says, "Lord, I've had enough. I cannot go any further, because a woman called Jezebel said, 'I'll have your life as the life of one of the ones that you've slain by tomorrow.'" He's no longer on the mountaintop. He's now in the valley of discouragement. John Mark was a young man whom Paul and Barnabas took with them into the ministry on their first ministry journey. And we find in the midst of it that John went home. He went home. And my dear friends, was the work too hard? Was the persecution too bad? Did he become discouraged? But he went home and he left the work that he was involved in. One thinks of John the Baptist. Here's another mighty man of God. John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was he who said of Christ, "Whose shoes latchet, I'm not worthy to unloose." It was him who pointed the nation to Christ and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." It was him who confronted the religious leaders of the day and fearlessly confronted the king when he was having sin with his brother's wife. John was a mighty man, but he was put in prison. And he sent two of his disciples to Jesus saying, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" One or two little doubts beginning to creep in, and he's getting a little bit discouraged. And here we find the very same thing happening with this man, Moses. Moses was God's anointed servant. He had been mightily used of God, but now we find him discouraged, and he's so discouraged that he wants to die. He says, "Lord, I am not able to bear all this people alone. It's too heavy. My, I pray thee, if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee." And the reason these men became discouraged is a very simple reason, and it's just this. They were human beings. They were human beings. Remember, James says Elias was a man. That's all he was. He wasn't a superman. He was just a man. Just a human being. And what happened to Moses and others can happen to you and me. We can become discouraged in our walk with God. And we can become discouraged in the work of God. Because like them, we're mere humans. And I feel that there's people today, quite a number of people, and they've become discouraged. They've become discouraged. So we want to learn lessons this morning about discouragement from this part of the life of Moses. And more importantly, how to overcome it. Three things, very simply. Want to look at the source of discouragement. Want to look at the seriousness of discouragement. And we want to think about the solution to discouragement. First of all, the source of discouragement comes to people from many different sources. Some people are more easily discouraged than others. Some are made of sterner stuff. But I believe that the main source of discouragement is Satan. The devil knows that if he can bring discouragement into your life, that he can make you inactive. And if he makes you inactive, then you're ineffective. Because the man or woman or young person who's under the juniper tree like Elijah, they don't feel like praying, or they don't feel like going to the prayer meeting. They don't even come out at all. They sit at home and feel sorry for themselves. So he knows that if he can get you to that place, he can take away your efficiency and make you totally inactive. And he uses different circumstances and situations to bring discouragement into your life. Let's look at some of the reasons why Moses became discouraged. First of all, because of the complainers. Moses had the responsibility for leading about 3 million people through the wilderness, and you can imagine the responsibility that was. You can imagine the burdens he had to bear and the problems he had to deal with every day, and you can imagine the people he had to listen to and all the rest of it. And my time after time, the people came and they're murmuring and they're complaining. And it says here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, the people complained. The people complained. And these complaints originated from the mixed multitude that came with Israel out of Egypt. Down in verse 4, it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting, and the children of Israel also wept and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? You see, friends, there was a mixed multitude. These were Gentiles who left Egypt with the Israelites. They didn't really belong to the Gentiles, or they didn't even really belong to the Israelites. They didn't really belong to the people of God. And you know, they remembered what they had in Egypt. And they talked about the cucumbers and the onions and all the good things that they had in Egypt. And they said, you know, we're left with this manna. And you know, we find that the Israelites began to complain as well. It began to spread. This infection began to spread. And it indicates how infectious complaining and a complaining attitude can be. Somebody said, you know, it only takes one dog to bark and all the other dogs start barking. Only takes one. And one complaining believer who can never see anything good or anything positive, and they're always complaining, it becomes infectious to others. And poor Moses was under enough pressure with all these unwanted unwarranted complaints. Notice what it says at the end of verse 1. In the middle of verse 1, it says, the people complained, and the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Dear friends, remember this, that the Lord hears every word, every complaint, every murmur. We have to give an account of every word when we stand before God. And when the Lord heard it, he was displeased. And he consumed many of them. And God hears the complainers, and only the grace of God, only for the grace of God, there would be many today who would be consumed. Because instead of contributing to God's work, they do nothing, only complain about it. And those who are trying to do their best. First reason why Moses was discouraged was complaints, complainers. Second was critics. These people became critical of Moses' leadership. And this man who led them and helped them was bearing all the blame. And we find this criticism in chapter 12 from those who were even close to Moses, namely Miriam and Aaron. And it says here, they speak against Moses. Yes, because of the Ethiopian woman that he had married. And we find again in verse 2, it says, and the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Oh yes, friends, a company of men were gathered together on one occasion. And one of them looked around and he said to them, is there any women about here? And he was going to tell a joke which wouldn't have been quite in place. And he said, is there any woman about here? And one man spoke up immediately and he said this. No, he said, there's not, but the Lord's here. The Lord's here. And dear friends, when you're complaining, and you're criticizing unwarrantedly, I don't mind constructive criticism. I'm all up for constructive criticism. But when there's unwarranted criticism, remember this. The Lord hears it. The Lord hears it. Do we believe that God is with us every moment, that he's beside us? And we find here that the Lord heard it, and they were trying to put themselves on a par with God's anointing. And it's a very dangerous thing, my, to put your hand against the servant of God, because if you read on in this, you'll find that Miriam became a leper. Moses became discouraged. And he says, I am not able. And he's physically exhausted, and then his patience is exhausted. Secondly, I want you to see this morning, not only the source of the discouragement. And of course, people get discouraged through many reasons and for many reasons. But we want to see the seriousness of the discouragement. Moses had finally become so discouraged that he could take it no longer. And so he complained to God and about all the murmuring that was going on. And my, in the midst of it all, you know, it seems that he lost sight of the sovereignty of God, and he began to feel sorry for himself, and he says, Lord, I'm not able, let me die. And of course, that's just the same as what Elijah felt in 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, Lord, take away my life. I can't take any more. Can't take it any longer. And I'm sure that maybe some of you have got there. I can say this morning that there's been times down through life when you've got to that stage where you feel that you can't go any further. But remember, we're made like that. We're human beings. And we get to the place where Moses and Elijah and others get to, and we feel like giving up and going no further. Friends, let me say to you this morning, when you feel like giving up, my, only do it at a last resort. Don't be giving up. Don't be giving up. Don't be giving Satan his way. Keep on pressing on. Man, the sky might be dark, but remember that the morning will come. Don't be giving up. I was speaking to someone the other day and they're facing a problem. They don't belong to here or near here. But they said to me, you know, what will we do now? Where will we go now? And I said to them, do nothing. Take your time. Take your time. Don't be making any rash decisions. Don't be making any decisions on the spur of the moment. Take your time and God will help you and God will lead you. You know, friends, the seriousness of discouragement is that it leads to depression. And depression, my, leads to despair, and the devil loves to see people, my, going down this road, because if he knows they're discouraged and depressed, my, he knows he'll not have too much trouble with them. But that brings me this morning to the place I want to get. We've looked at the source of discouragement, and it can come from many sources. We have mentioned but a few of them. And we see the seriousness of discouragement. It takes away our effectiveness for God. But we want to look at the solution to discouragement. You know, Moses found that the Lord was faithful to him in the hour when he was down and discouraged. And God came to his aid, providing him help and enabling him to overcome these setbacks. And I believe, you know, that the secret of how Moses overcame these things that we've been talking about this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 11. In that great chapter of faith, remember Moses is in that great chapter of faith, and the writer says this concerning Moses in verse 27, Hebrews 11 and verse 27. The writer says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That word endured, it can be translated, he pressed on. He never flinched. He kept on going. He endured. He pressed on. He kept on going. How did he do it? By seeing him who is invisible. By getting his eyes on the Lord and getting taken up with God. Man, that's how he endured. That's how he kept on going. My, David was discouraged. 1 Samuel 30, we read of David, how he came with his men to Ziklag, and he found that the Amalekites had invaded Ziklag and burned it with fire. And it says the people wept until they had no more power to weep. Mad was a terrible day in the life of David and his people when the city was taken, and my, their wives and their children were taken, and it got worse. It says the people spake of stoning him. The people turned against David, their leader, and they blamed him for all the ills that they faced that day. And then it says this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David didn't sit down and give up. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He endured. He pressed on. Now, he did something by himself. For himself. Within himself. Instead of looking at the rubble that was around him. Instead of looking into the faces of the people who were out to stone him. David didn't look down and he didn't look around. He looked up and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Brethren and sisters, this morning, I believe that this is a solution to discouragement. To begin to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Not to look down and not to look around us. We need to look up. When things seem impossible, when things seem that they cannot get any worse, my dear friends, he endured. Moses endured. He pressed on. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This is something you and I can do for ourselves. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. You know, brethren and sisters, this morning, we can encourage ourselves this morning. We can encourage ourselves in the sovereignty of the Lord. The sovereignty of the Lord. My, the Lord is on the throne. God is still on the throne. Things may be difficult. Maybe there's problems in your life. Maybe there's illness in your life. Maybe there's things in your life which is beyond your control or anybody else's control, and you're wondering what way you'll turn or what will happen next. Remember this, God is on the throne. God is still on the throne this morning. And because he's in on the throne, he's in control. Let's encourage ourselves on the sovereignty of the Lord this morning, that God is sovereign. Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up and sitting on a throne. Oh, the Lord is in control, even of this world in which we live, with all its problems, when so many things are out of control and so many governments have lost control. You only need to look at the people traveling from Syria into Europe, and man, they don't know what to do. They're scratching their heads. Let's encourage ourselves in the sovereignty of the Lord. If you're discouraged this morning, dear brother or sister, you can encourage yourself in the love of God. In the love of God. Paul says, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what's going on in your life at this very moment, God loves you. God loves you. He hasn't stopped loving you. He hasn't forgotten about you. God loves you this morning. He loves you more than I could ever explain. He loves you more than a mother's love. Yes, life with all its problems. Death that separates us from so many things. And we could go on this morning. My, we can encourage ourselves in the sovereignty of the Lord and in the love of God. You're discouraged this morning, feeling down. You know, we can encourage ourselves in the purposes of God. Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Or we know that God is working all things together for good. And I know that sometimes tragedy comes into a home or into a family, and people look at the minister or the pastor or whoever he is, or their friends, and they say, where's the good in this? Where's the good in it? You know, when Joseph's brethren took him and they hated him so much that they wanted to kill him, but they threw him down into a pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites, God was working in Joseph's life. God was working it for good. Because they brought him down, he came into the house of Potiphar. And he worked there as a slave. And when Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, God was working it all out for good. And Potiphar's wife told lies on Joseph and accused him of something he was not guilty of. And he's taken and thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit. And God was still working. God was working. God was still in control. And then the chief of the butlers, when he was restored after Joseph explained his dream, he forgot all about Joseph. Left him languishing in the prison. And God was working. God was working. And God was bringing Joseph at the right time to the right place to do the right job. Dear friends, we're always in a hurry. We can't wait on God. I'm the same. I'm just like you. We're always wanting to push God on. Want him to do it quicker. Brethren and sisters, we can encourage ourselves in the purposes of God, that God is working all things together for good to them that love him. We can encourage ourselves in the word of God. Are you depressed this morning? Are you down? Are you defeated? Do you feel bad? Are you discouraged? My, think of all the promises in the Word. Get the Bible open and start going through it and go over all the promises. My, when you read the promises of God, remember they're yea and amen in Christ. My, the blessings God has given us in his Word, we can encourage ourselves in the Word of God. And we can encourage ourselves in the work of God. Sometimes the work can be hard. But thank God for all the encouragements. I look back this morning. Think of some of the hard times. Difficult times. Times that maybe stretched us as a family. There's far better, far more good times. Thank God for the good times. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it. Dear friends, Moses was a mighty man of God. But he became discouraged. And you and I will become discouraged at times. It'll happen. May we learn the secret of how to get over it by pressing on and by encouraging ourselves in the Lord our God. Let's not look down. Look at those around us. Let's look up this morning and see Jesus and know that he's sovereign and that he loves you. And that he cares for you.